Want to be confident when talking about yourself and explaining what you do? Join my free 21-day confidence building course. You'll learn how to construct a personal elevator pitch, learn how to not be awkward in social situations, how to have awesome conversations, among other important skills to help you crush life. Best of all, it's free. Sign up now at freeconfidencecourse.com. From The C Method, my name is Christina Canters, and this is Stand Out, Get Noticed, the podcast that helps you communicate with confidence and clarity so you can get what you want in business and in life. To subscribe to the show and download the back catalogue, go to thecmethod.com/podcast. Hey guys, it's Christina here with you for episode 33. I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest this week. His name is Jean-Marc Dédain, and he's passionate about helping foreign-born entrepreneurs find their purpose, celebrate their differences, and be successful in their adopted country. You can check out his stuff at youintheusa.com. That's youintheusa.com. He's originally from the French island of Martinique in the Caribbean, which explains his delicious accent. And he's experienced living in different countries, dealing with cultural differences, and working really hard to differentiate himself as in a competitive market multiple times. Now, I really wanted to get him on the show because I wanted to talk about how to stand out when you're a foreigner moving to another country. I experienced this myself when I moved to New York City last year and I had to build new networks, new relationships, and deal with new challenges. So I was excited when I met Jean-Marc and I thought, you know, I really want to get him on the show because I think he offers a really unique and different perspective on how to stand out, because when you're a foreigner, it adds a whole new level of complexity and challenges to deal with. So I really wanted to get him on the show to talk about that. So if you're a foreigner trying to make a successful life for yourself in your adopted country, or if you're thinking of doing it, this episode is for you. And even if you're not, Jean-Marc shares ways that you can stand out when you're job hunting or starting a business, that and these ways, they just apply just as much to locals as they do to expats. So listen in. Show notes will be at thecmethod.com/USA. All right, so let's get to the interview. I hope you enjoy this one with Jean-Marc Dédain.
At the age of 16, I was getting close to graduation. And at that time on my island, there were a few options. One of the reasons why I decided to leave is I was looking for a place to expand my knowledge, but also I was attracted by new horizons. And one of my cousins came back. She was in Atlanta for 4 years. And when she shared her experience, and I was captivated, inspired by that. And I was looking, really looking for a new place to escape somehow my reality. I was trying to escape some personal issue. And also, when you live on an island, you always wonder what's going on out there. And so that was the case for me. So we have the influence of the US, the influence of France and Europe. So I tried to move to the US to study. Unfortunately, it was impossible, too expensive. So instead, I convinced my mother, my parents, I say, can I go to France, which was the usually the natural option for most of the kids over there. If I can summarize, I was really trying to find my voice, being extremely reserved and shy at that time. I was trying to find my identity, and very attracted about new things.
And then, so when you first went to France to study,
yes,
did you find yourself?
It took me a while. The first objective was to study and eventually return or do something else. But I was not planning on staying 13 years of my life in France. And eventually, my father was extremely passionate about computers. So, and I always admire all the sales rep who came to his office in Martinique. And one of them was from IBM. And I remember as I was trying to get the attention of my father, I say, if I can get to a position like a sales rep at IBM or HP, maybe I would get more attention from him. So one other thing that I did was to pursue a master degree in sales and computer. And I end up at one point working at HP. And so I learn about prospection. I learn about telemarketing. I met a lot of people. I travel a lot around Europe. So I did find a part of myself. And eventually in 2005 and 2006, I just realized that I was not living the life that I was meant to be. I was not fully happy. I was not fulfilled. I was, I would say, a successful sales rep at HP. I did this for about 7 years. I won some prizes, but in the end, if you had asked me, okay, are you really fully happy? And that was not the case. Even though the money was there, but it was not essential to me. And at one point, end of 2005, HP was going through a workforce reduction plan. And the goal was to, I guess they have to let go about 12,000 people and 5,000 in France. That's how I make a decision. I say, it's time for me to do something meaningful. It's time for me to become a resource to others. I was a number for many years, and I was trying to take charge of my own destiny. So that's when I make the decision to leave that corporation and go on my own to the U.S.
Wow. So that was the first time you went to the U.S. What was the biggest challenge you faced in terms of the cultural differences when you first moved to the U.S.?
The bigger one was, biggest part was to learn. Basically, I wrote once that I really felt like a baby. I have to learn everything from the language and how to cope with things, how to get around. And the biggest thing was to be able to think and speak like people speak here. Over there, we learn English, but until you really put yourself in the shoes of the other and you try to understand why they do things a certain way, it's really hard to get along and build strong and lasting relationships. So that was the biggest start. And the second was to, until I was able to relate to their culture, all the thing that I did prior that, this 10 years of experience as a sales rep didn't even matter. And I had to basically demonstrate how I could be of value into this this new culture, this new system and the industry that I didn't know. I didn't know nothing about LA. All I knew was before I came to LA, I had visited LA maybe for 2 weeks. I knew two people, and I barely knew the environment, the lifestyle, and none of that. So I have to learn basically from scratch. And it took years. It took years. You don't learn that in a matter of a week or months. And it's been almost 10 years now. So a lot of trials and discussion and discoveries and failures and challenges to get to where I am today.
What did you find was the most helpful thing for you?
As soon as I arrived, basically, I understood that the power of building a collaborative business relationship, having around you and right, building meaningful relationships. So through that, those two people that I knew before I moved to the US, they really helped me. And then I built new relationship through UCLA. I spent 2 years at UCLA. I spent a lot of time discussing with the professors, and most of them were professionals on the side. And through my friends, they introduced me to other people. That was truly helpful. And the second is at one point, I joined different networks through the Chamber of Commerce and other organization. And also I was following some of the consultants and coaches and speakers in the area, such as Les Brown and other people. And I learned through them. I try, as you often say, if you try to do something, try to find someone and emulate or try to emulate what the person is doing and try to find a mentor. So all of that combined helped me to get to that point. And eventually in 2011, I joined a network called InterNations, which is a private network that help expatriates get together, connect. Basically, the purpose of that network is to connect global minds, not only online, but also offline. And I joined that network and became one of the ambassadors for the LA chapters. And we went from almost 3,000 members to 9,000 members in a matter of 3 years. The idea was to help all those people who come from 50 to 60 different countries connect through networking events that we put on a regular basis, almost once a month, sometime twice a month, with other activities. And that really helped me not only become a resource to other and create a name for myself in the, I would say, the foreign market in Los Angeles. Yes.
Yeah. And developing those leadership skills would have been really, really valuable as well. Because I guess when you're in that position, you're really forced to step up and lead and be confident and make these decisions. So you have no time to sit back and go, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here, because you're the one that's helping other people.
Yeah, when you have to help, and you, when you really, you truly care. Someone asked me, but how did you get so, how did you get all those people to follow you? And I say, all I did was truly care about, I asked myself how it was challenging for me. And I told myself, those people go through the same experiences, and they left their countries. They don't have families here, and they have all those questions. And for many of them, the question were, how do I make friends? How do I build friendships or new connections, new relationship for my business? And the second question is, where do I go to have fun during the weekends? So the And we want to visit new places and new venues. So because of that, I truly care, and I try to understand their interests, their needs. And it was natural. And also the fact that I was born on an island, and hospitality is essential for us. We like to party. We have the sun. We have to entertain. So it was natural for me to be able to connect all those people and eventually become a resource to them and build some type of bridge between the venues and the other partners and the guests. And it was a truly great experience for 3 years. I learned a lot, not only about the Los Angeles lifestyle, the environment and the people, and from all those cultures, sometime 60, 70 countries were presented in one event. That was truly interesting.
Wow. And then that's what led you to start your own business, you in the USA, is that right?
It was, I started you in the USA prior to that.
Okay.
Yeah, prior to that. In 2009, just before I graduate, I was observing, because the whole goal of this this program at UCLA was about entrepreneurship, and I took a class about business plan, and I knew I wanted to start a business. I didn't necessarily know how and where, in which type of environment. I knew I wanted to be to do something meaningful and help others. And I noticed that in my class, many of my students were younger and they have similar struggles. But on top of that, they didn't know how to take this knowledge into the workplace. For them, it was a foreign land, and they not only they have to learn the culture and the language and learn new skills, but then how to take that and make it profitable or valuable in the marketplace, knowing that they have no understanding of or no clue about, or they very few knowledge or experiences about the professional environment. So I realize, I say, maybe there is an opportunity here to help them bridge the gap. So because of my professional background, I say, okay, I can be a resource of value. So I create You in the USA with the goal to help foreign students who graduate from American university make a smooth transition into the workplace while helping them adapt to the culture and the lifestyle.
Now, for someone who is a foreigner, or someone who is in a foreign country and they're looking to get a job or change jobs or simply assimilate into the culture, what's one thing that you could recommend that they do?
They will most likely find online or discuss about visas and things like that, or worry about, okay, which visa should I get, or this and that, how do I put together the resume? All of those things are important. I would say the first thing, and I was responding to someone yesterday, even though I'm no longer working with students looking for jobs or internships, I focus on foreign entrepreneurs now. I was telling that person, all of that visas and everything matters, but if you don't understand the problems that this company is facing or will be facing, and if you can't articulate your value, if you can demonstrate how you could be a value and help them solve that problems, there is nothing you won't be able to do, because I always suggest to focus on that first, so you can demonstrate, okay, if I were able to solve that problem for you, this is how I would do, and this is how long it will take, this is how much you would generate eventually in revenue if it's the case, and this is how I would do it. And eventually that company will be more sensitive to the needs, such as the visa, which is a requirement to work in the U.S. And so I would be the first thing. Focus on the what are the pains and the challenge this company is facing. What are they trying to achieve? And eventually, you can discuss about the other aspect after. Like I say, resume are important. Building relationships are key, and having a brand, being able to explain what is your unique promise of value in that specific industry for that specific mission, even though sometimes they don't necessarily know how to define the mission. But if you can articulate your value and how you will solve that issue, I'm pretty sure the hiring manager will be more sensitive, or at least more interested in continuing the discussion.
But that also applies to entrepreneurs as well, right?
Correct.
But instead of communicating that message to a company, you're communicating it to your clients.
Yes, that's true. That's definitely the case. And I would say this is a key for everything that you do. You want to understand what the person wants, and eventually you... But most of the students, whether they are foreign or not, really don't focus on that. They will spend time presenting their experience and why they study, their schools and all the projects, and they don't spend enough time trying to understand why that company exists. What is the mission? What are their beliefs, and what are they trying to do in the future? What is the purpose of that company behind the service or product? And eventually, why that person is trying to bring a new employer in their teams, and eventually, I would say they usually miss the target because they don't spend enough time, or sometimes they are too shy to ask questions about that. But for me, it's the key.
How can foreign-born entrepreneurs use the fact that they are from another country and another culture to their advantage? Or is there an advantage to that? And if so, how can they use it?
Assuming that they already establish collaborative business relationships and they create trust with their partners or people, fundings and things like that. Assuming they have done all of that, in some cases, having international background can help. I take an example. I spent some time working on a project related to international trade. And so LA has this capacity to trade a lot of the product that comes to the US and vice versa. And some of the business owner who had some interest in exporting their product abroad, and they show some strong interest in doing that. But their main concern was, I have no clue of what's going on out there. I won't, even though I speak English and maybe some of my contact will speak English, but I don't relate to them. And in that case, we suggested with the Port of Los Angeles that they establish relationship with either an agent or someone who will be in the U.S. presenting that company abroad. So in that case, the export management company, eventually a foreign export management company based in LA, could facilitate the relationship between a U.S. manufacturer and a foreign buyer, and that was key. And I met some successful export management company doing this with countries in South America or Europe or Africa, because they know the language, they know the culture, they already have established relationship over there. So that's one other thing. In some other case, having in their teams, let's say, or startups, having in the teams people with the necessary skills to develop the application or the software. Some of those times, some of those people are very creative and can be a value to a team. And we have in Silicon Valley, Silicon Beach, and New York, and other places in the U.S., a lot of talented engineers from India, China, and South Korea, and all those countries. They bring value because of their skills, and sometimes their understanding of how things are in their countries. So that's another. Language could be a good, knowing a foreign language and knowing how the business is done in a certain country can be extremely helpful when you come to the U.S. and you try to still build a relationship between the U.S. and other countries.
Yeah. And another thing, when I went to America last year, I didn't think that my being Australian was anything special. But then the response I got from a lot of people was, oh my goodness, you're Australian. That's so cool. You know, and that was already a point of difference for me because I had a different accent. And people I find in America are quite fascinated by Australia because it seems like this faraway place. I mean, it is a faraway place, but they, you know, and they want to learn more about it. So I think for someone who is a foreigner in a country, you know, I think don't discount your own culture. You know, use that as your point of difference.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Anyone, this is going to work. This won't necessarily work everywhere in the U.S. LA has his own requirements. And in some cases, I was working with a young student from Sweden. And she was born in Uganda, but she grew up in Sweden. And she came to LA to pursue a certificate in international trade. And I told her, we discussed, and because she struggled to find an internship and eventually a job after graduation. And I said, but what do you really want to do? What are you really passionate about? How do you want to contribute into this world. And she mentioned to me that she would love to be to provide some value and resource to Uganda and eventually Sweden. And I did some research. I say, you know, Mercy, her name is Mercy. I say, but Sweden, when I look at the data from the LA Chamber of Commerce and all the organization, I say, I don't see a lot of things going out to Sweden or Uganda from LA. Most of the things are taking place in New York or New Orleans and Louisiana and those places. I say, your place is not in LA. Yes, you graduate here, but you should be in New York. So she moved out to New York. Unfortunately, her visa was about to expire. It was too short for her to establish new relationships. She returned to Sweden, and I know right now she's doing great stuff over there. But as I was saying, sometime, and I often say that to my clients, don't discount the small cities. Everybody looks at LA, San Diego, Miami, New York, San Francisco, but sometimes your blessing can be in a small town in the US or somewhere where nobody talks about on TV, but where you can be, you can truly be of value because of the way their economy is, what they are trying to do in some places where immigrants or foreign entrepreneurs are welcome or people want them. Like in Texas, there are places where they really want to have, or Boston and all the. There are some areas in the U.S. where they really do a lot to attract foreign entrepreneurs or foreign students. So I often recommend people to look at also all those places and not just focus on, yes, I want to be in the where the show is happening, sometime. That's where you have more competition, and it's how to stand out because you are just a number among many other. On top of that, you have to deal with the questions of visa when you could easily get a company sponsoring you or contract in another place because that's where the market is right now.
Mm. Yeah, so it pays to do your research. Mm-hmm. And in my last podcast episode, I spoke to a guy, his name's Basil Nuradini, and he is an expert in decision making. And one of the things he says is that when you're making a big life decision, he said, we often have a very narrow spotlight and we only look at a small handful of options because that's all we know are available to us. But he says that if you actually widen that spotlight and if you do research and you ask other people and you actually step back, you will see that there are plenty of other options available to you that will help you then to make a better decision. And I think that very much ties into what you're saying about, you know, if you're finding it hard to get a job or get traction in a certain place, you know, maybe the competition is really high and maybe you can be more successful in a different place where the competition pool is smaller and the opportunities might be bigger. So with what you're doing with you in the USA right now, what's the biggest reward that you're getting from it?
Right now, I'm currently writing my book and I want to expand to more speaking engagements. That's where I'm going after speaking and webinars and seminars and podcasts and things like that and conferences. And the biggest reward was to be able to create this massive network of over 4,000 expatriates and being able to help each other and bring joy and satisfaction to people. And sometime just by connecting two people that generate eventually friendship or people who arrive here who knew nobody and a year after celebrate their birthday with 100 people, brand new people that they didn't even know before. Things like that, and to be able to facilitate and help some of my clients realize that they were not necessarily pursuing what they were called to do, and to be able to help someone say, okay, ask yourself the real question. What are you really passionate about? What is your purpose? What is your why? What are you trying to achieve? Does this job that you're doing bring you happiness and fulfillment? Yeah, and I know he paid the bill, but do you see yourself doing this? And some of my clients were trying to relocate to the U.S. doing the same job. And I say, do you really love that? Do you see yourself doing that? I say, you're going to make a lot of sacrifices by moving to the U.S. So ask yourself the question. You don't want to be stuck in a job that you don't necessarily like. So eventually spend some time, figure out what you really want to do and how you can bring value to others. So all of that brought happiness to me, and being able to tell myself, okay, you start this, you work a certain way, you're moving slowly, and naturally I came to the conclusion that I was born to help others find what inspires them and their purpose. And if I can be a resource, I can be a coach, a speaker to help someone find purpose so that they feel cared for, liberate to celebrate their differences, and empowered to do something that inspires them. That would be a great thing too. And that's the cause and the purpose that I'm following right now.
That's beautiful. When are we seeing you on the TED stage?
Hopefully in 2 years.
And when's the book coming out?
The idea is to launch the book next year, probably around my birthday, May 2016.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call you up and see how you're going with that.
Yeah.
To hold you accountable. Jean-Marc, how's the book going? Because I know writing a book is really difficult. So awesome. Thank you so much for joining me on the show, Jean-Marc. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure too. Thank you. Thank you. Great job.
Massive thanks to Jean-Marc Dedain. Again, check out his work at youintheusa.com. And I'll also put links to how you can connect with Jean-Marc at thecmethod.com/USA. And that wraps up episode 33. Thanks so much for tuning in. You are a rock star. And I will see you next week for another episode. We might get into some standout creative video stuff. Should be fun. My name's Christina Canters, and this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed. So I really wanted to learn the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song on the ukulele because I thought that would be quite apt for this episode, seeing as Jean-Marc is from the Caribbean, but I couldn't learn it because it's really complicated. So the closest country I could find was Jamaica, so I learnt Jamaica Farewell. Ha ha ha.